They know who their ideal person is, and they focus their marketing around attracting more ideal people. That's what a smart marketer does.
StayAllDay.com. Free's exceptional.
Work on your game.
I like the approach.
Work on your fucking game.
Everybody has relates to what Dre's saying in a different way.
Work on your game.
I like the way he thinks.
Work on your fucking game.
I like the frameworks that he's put together.
Work on your game.
And I would highly recommend it to anybody that's trying to work on their game.
Work on your fucking game.
I think it's a good approach. It's a different approach, too.
Hey, you, work on your game.
Gave me something really good.
Work on your game. DreAllDay.com.
And his philosophy makes a lot of sense.
Not only work on your game, perfect your craft.
Work on your game.
He knows how to communicate in such a fabulous way.
I can't say it enough.
Work on your game. You are now tuned into the show where you learn the discipline to show up day after day to do the work, the confidence to put yourself out there boldly and authentically, and the mental toughness to continue showing up, doing the work, putting yourself out there, even when the success you've expected to achieve has yet to be achieved. And on top of all this, you get a huge dose of personal initiative. That is the go-getter energy that moves any one of us, including yourself, to go and make things happen instead of waiting for things to happen. And then we put all this together into a series of frameworks, approaches, insights, strategies, and techniques all underneath the umbrella of one unified philosophy that is called Work on Your Game. My name is Dre Baldwin, also known as Dre All Day, and welcome to the show. And today's topic is lazy thought leader marketing mistakes that I'm going to help save you from before you destroy your business and put yourself in a worse situation or get into a deeper worse situation than what you may already be in. But before we get into that, let me do two things. First of all, remind you all that I have a daily motivation text that I send out every day guaranteed to have you focus, sharp, and on point. All you got to do is text me, join my text community. As soon as we get the technical issues with that fixed, that message will be going out consistently again. So text me at my number, 305-384-6894. Secondly, Work on Your Game University. That is the place where I do all of my direct coaching. If any of you would like to have me as your direct coach, there's one way to do it, one way only. Just go to workonyourgameuniversity.com. You can see what our whole framework is about, what our program is about, type of people who we have worked with in the past. We work with people from a lot of different backgrounds, not people who are just from the same background as I am. Actually, most of our members are not from the similar background to me. And there's a reason for that, because my superpowers are not about my specific industry, but about my ability to break things down and put them back together, simplify, strategize, and explain. So go to workonyourgameuniversity.com. You can see what we're doing. You can see what our program looks like, and you can schedule a time to get on a call with us completely free of charge. We can talk about where you're at, where you want to go, what you feel like might be in your way. And if we believe we can help you, we'll tell you exactly how it looks, how it works, how to get started. Again, that's workonyourgameuniversity.com. With all that out the way, let's get into the topic again today, which is lazy thought leader marketing mistakes. Now, I just did a series talking about the mistakes that marketers make, period. And not even mistakes that marketers make, but just everything that you believe about marketing is wrong. That was a series that began on, I'm pulling up the episode where I begin that. It was episode number 2821 up through 2827. So it was a 7-part series. And that was, by the time you all are hearing this, we're over a month removed from that series. But if you've been listening to the show, you may have remembered it. Today, I want to talk about mistakes that marketers make specifically in the thought leader space. And let me be clear what a thought leader is. This is a person who's working in intellectual property. So your main product is your knowledge and your insights on a subject. It's not like you're really selling a tangible thing as much as you're selling the knowledge that maybe comes within that tangible thing. So you might sell a book, but people are not paying for the pages and the ink. What they're paying for are the words and the inspiration or information or strategy or insight that they get from reading the book. That's what I mean when I say intellectual property. Also, this can be things like speaking, coaching, consulting, webinars, courses, etc. So if you're in this space or you plan to be, you got to check yourself for these lazy marketing mistakes that you may be making, and you may not even be making them on purpose. Some of you might be making them on purpose because you just are lazy. And some of you are making them because you don't even know that what you're doing is a lazy marketer mistake. Good news is I'm here to help you out. Point number one, topic once again is lazy thought leader marketing mistakes. First mistake is inconsistent branding. Inconsistent branding is the key term, is inconsistent. Branding is about the space that you occupy in the mind of the market and specifically your prospects and customers. Being inconsistent with your brand and your brand name, that's usually a reflection of you trying to be too many different things in the marketplace at the same time. So that's what makes it inconsistent. Inconsistent doesn't mean necessarily you're not posting on Instagram enough. That could be part of it. But it's also you're giving too many messages that are not aligned with each other to your audience. Therefore, your audience is confused as to who you are, what you're about, and what space you should occupy in their mind. And if they are confused about what space you're going to occupy, then what ends up happening usually is that you occupy no space. You don't want to be in that place. So don't try to be too many different things at the same time in one marketplace. So what is the main thing that you want people to understand and know and appreciate about you? That's a question. What's the main thing you want people to know about you? What is the main thing you want people to appreciate about you? When they talk about you behind your back, what do you want them to say? Ask yourself that question. Come to a definitive answer. And then the answer, this is what needs to be hammered through in your messages and in your ideas. And you do it so consistently that people come to accept it and they come to associate you with that idea. So understand that the space that you occupy in the mind of the consumer is not the consumer's decision. It is your decision, because the only thing the consumer can go off of is what you give them. So you give them the material to think of you as this person who's an expert on hairstyles, or you're a person who's an expert on makeup, or you're a person who's an expert on lighting for stages when someone does an event, or you're a person who's an expert on video editing for YouTube. What do you want people to know you as? What space do you want to occupy in their minds? You decide that, and then every message you put out should reflect that that's the person that you are. So that when people think about that thing, they think about you, and vice versa. When they think about you, they think about that thing. So what is the thing? Your job is to figure out what the thing is. So you send that message out consistently enough that people will come to associate you and that message as the same thing. They connect them together. So when I say Tiger Woods, the first thing most of you will think is golf. Or if I say Serena Williams, many of you will think tennis. I say Michael Jordan, you'll think basketball. Why? Because these people did those things so well and so strongly and for a long enough period of time that we came to associate the two things together. That's what you want to do. And you don't have to be as famous as those folks, but you should be as consistent as they are. In that when you hear Tiger Woods' name, usually it has something to do with golf. You hear Serena's name, usually it got something to do with tennis. And Michael Jordan, basketball. Even though they could all at some point move on from other things, they are so strong. They created such a strong mark in those spaces that will always make that association. So this does not mean that you can't be good at seven different things. Because those three people who I just mentioned, I'm sure they have other things going on in their lives besides just the thing that I made the free association with them up. So all three of them are parents. They all have children. They all have relationships. They probably all have some type of charitable work they do. They probably all have some type of businesses outside of just their sport that they are probably pretty well established in doing. So they probably all have a bunch of things going on, but you want to start with one, then expand outward. Don't start with seven and try to narrow inward. This is the mistake that a lot of thought leaders make. They try to come out and be eight different things at the same time, when I would instead suggest you come out and be one thing to one specific audience. Then when you're good with that one, then move on to thing two, then three, then four, then five, and expand outward rather than try to narrow inward. And that's another mistake that a lot of thought leaders make, is trying to be, again, too many things at once. This is all part of this first point here. And this leads to inconsistency in your branding, because people, the consumers that is, they don't quite know what to make of you. They don't quite know who exactly are you, what exactly are you bringing to the table. If they can't answer that question, then you don't occupy any space in their mind. You don't want to be in that place, because then when they need a thing, they're going to think of the person they associate that thing with. And since they associate you with nothing in particular, well, what space can you occupy? Answer is none. Despite all the YouTube, basketball, even this show, I started as a writer and I am still a prolific writer. As a matter of fact, I send out emails damn near every day. I call this the Daily Game email. I want you to get this every day to your inbox completely for free. So simply go to workonmygame.com. That's workonmygame.com, and get my emails directly to your inbox every day free of charge. Again, that's workonmygame.com. If you're a longtime listener, you might know that I've been drinking AG1 since early 2023. Best thing about my introduction to AG1 was that I was able to eliminate all these extra supplements and pills that I was taking every single day, because AG1 is a foundational nutritional supplement that supports your body's universal needs like gut optimization, stress management, and immune support. AG1 since 2010 has led the future of foundational nutrition, continuously refining their formula to create a smarter, better way to elevate your baseline health. Not only did I replace all those extra multivitamins and pills with AG1, but I love that every scoop also includes a bunch of other good things that you need. All you have to do is read the label. It's right there on their website, which I'll give you in a second. That includes everything you need and more every single day. And since AG1 is a supplement that I trust to provide the support that my body needs daily, and that's why I've been a partner for so long, if you want to take ownership of your health, understand it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3K2 and five free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/workonyourgame. That's drinkag1.com/workonyourgame. Check it out and thank yourself later. Point number two. Today's topic, once again, is thought leader marketing mistakes. Number two, ignoring or being unaware of available data. Ignoring or being unaware of available data. Now, I am not a big data geek. I would say I'm probably on a little bit on the low side of about average when it comes to my willingness to consume a ton of data. I'm not a big data guy. I'm much more of a creator, much more in front of the camera guy than behind the scenes. I'm in front of the camera. I'm on the scene. I'm on the stage. I want to be front facing and deal with the people. That's what I do best. I'm not big on data and analysis and all of those things, but that doesn't mean I don't do it. Data is simply information that can help you make better decisions for how you are operating your business. That's all. When I say the word data, that's all it means. Information that can help you make better decisions for how you operate your business. Now, this can be something as simple as noting what type of people are responding to your messages. Who's interested in what you're talking about? That is data. If you can make sense of it and understand, okay, these people are coming to me for these reasons. Okay, now how about I talk more about what these reasons are and these challenges, and maybe I'll attract more people like them. And now I can do more business. All right, that's just a simple inductive reasoning way of looking at how you're doing your business. Unfortunately, many entrepreneurs never even think about this. Now, there are some entrepreneurs who are extremely thorough with this, where they have it down to the detail exactly who is who and what and why and where and what to do. Companies are big on data. You think a company like Meta, who owns Facebook and owns Instagram, they know their details. TikTok knows theirs. Google knows theirs. Nike knows theirs. Now, again, and when I mention these big companies, I always give you the caveat. You can't copy everything that they do, but there are some things they do that you should copy. This is one of them. You should copy this. They know who their ideal person is, and they focus their marketing around attracting more ideal people. That's what a smart marketer does. A lazy marketer does not do this. Not because they wouldn't benefit from it, because they're just too lazy to do the work. So this is where you need to know, what data do I need to look for? And then once you find it, what do I do with this? How do I interpret this data? Again, note the type of people who are responding to you. What are they interested in? What are they asking you for? What are the challenges? What are their complaints? Knowing who the type of people are that you should be targeting, given what you are selling and how much you're selling it for, you can make a lot better decisions when it comes to your business. So if you are blindly doing marketing, then you may be using a lot of resources, but not creating positive, useful outcomes. So when you are more informed as far as what is going on around you and the response the marketplace has to you based on what you're putting out there, you can get more specific in who you're targeting, how you target them, so that you can produce better results for your business. I mean, that's the whole point, right? The whole point of doing business is you want to produce better results. We are in a performance and results-based business. So if you can access anything that can help you perform better and produce better results, you should probably do it, right? I would think so. So for example, as I told you, I'm not big on data, but I understand the value of data. So right now I have a company that runs ads for me via the Facebook ad platform. Actually, I got two different companies running ads for me on the Facebook platform. They're just running ads for different groups of products. And one of the companies, the ads that they've been running have not been very good. It has been kind of trash, as a matter of fact. And I have told them that hey, these ads are not the ads themselves. Actually, I didn't say the ads are trash. I said the results of the ads are trash, because I don't really care about the ad. Ad can be, personally think that an ad is terrible, but if it's producing results and performing and making money, then hey, it could be a terrible ad, but it's working. Okay, then actually, I would never call that ad terrible, because the the goodness or badness of an ad, so to speak, is based on its performance. What I said to them, actually just last week from the date that I'm recording this, I said the leads that this ad is producing. So the ad gets people to click, and then I'm seeing who these people are who are clicking, and there are conversations being had with the people who are clicking on this ad, and I'm not liking the quality of person who is responding to the ads that we've been running. And I told them that. I said the leads, and a lead is just a person who may be interested in your stuff, i.e. the people who are clicking on this ad, these are shitty leads. And I told the company that. I said these leads are shit. We're spending money on this ad, and these leads are no good. You all need to go back to the drawing board and get the shit fixed. I told them that. I didn't say it in that exact language, but the point was made. And just a couple days ago, again, from the date that I'm recording this, they told me, all right, we refreshed our whole approach here, what we're going to do and revamp. And now we're going to relaunch this whole process. And let's see if we can get some better quality leads in there for you, Dre. And the reason they're going to do this is because I'm paying them to do it. All right. The whole point is they have the data. I have access to the data, but they can see the data and I'm holding them accountable because I trust them to know their stuff. So when their stuff is not producing, then I'm calling them out and saying, yo, your stuff's not producing. Let's fix this. And now they're fixing it. The whole point is somebody better be controlling the data and you better know who that is. And you better be in constant communication with that person. That's the whole point of making sure you're paying attention to your data. Thought leaders, you need to be doing this. And anyone who owns any business, you need to do this. You know those days in your life when you don't really feel like being at work, you don't really feel like doing the job that you're required to do, but you have to do it anyway? Yeah, those days. We call those days the third day. Everyone has them no matter what it is that you do. And you need to, if you're going to be a professional, have a system for getting through those days because they're going to happen. I wrote a book called The Third Day, The Decision That Separates the Pros from the Amateurs, that systematically and strategically coaches you on how to get through those days so you can give your best effort when you least feel like it. I will give you a free copy of the book. Again, it's called The Third Day. All you have to do is cover the shipping and go to thirddaybook.com. Again, that's thirddaybook.com. Get a free copy of that book, How to Separate Yourself, the Pro, from the Amateurs by showing up and giving your best effort when you least feel like it. Just go to thirddaybook.com. Point number three. Today's topic, once again, is lazy thought leader marketing mistakes. Number three, not writing enough. And by the way, this is going to be a two-part series. So I'm giving you three here today, but tomorrow I'm going to give you three more. Actually, it's going to be a three-part series. I got more after that. This is actually going to be a three-part series, not a two-part series. So this is just the first part. But the third point is you're not writing enough. And this is not a metaphor. If you're in the thought leadership space, you are attracting people who do actually read. I mean, thought leadership is selling intellectual property. Intellectuals, people who are interested in intellectual property, are readers. You ever heard the saying, readers are leaders? It's true. Average CEO reads 50 books per year. People who are interested in intellectual property are people who want to be intellectually challenged, stimulated, and served, meaning they are willing to read. They are willing to listen. So you have to give them written material. And I'm focusing on written material for a specific reason. So you will be attracting people who do read when you're in a thought leadership space. And even though reading is not as, let's say, popular, I guess, as it used to be, simply because people can now consume things through multimedia, like video, reading still exists. Even though YouTube is YouTube, reading still exists. There are still people who buy books on Amazon. There are still people who, when you write an email, they will open it and they will read your email. All right, again, readers are leaders. Top CEOs read, on average, 50 books per year, according to some studies. I was just on a recording today. I was on a podcast with my friend Desiree, and she says she reads 60 books per year. Thought leaders write. That's what thought leaders do. You're in a thought leadership space, you should have a book published because thought leaders are expected to write books. It's just expected that you publish. You tell somebody you're a coach or a speaker or an author. Well, if you say an author, of course you have a book. You tell someone you're a coach, you're a speaker, you're maybe an expert in some subject matter. People are expecting there to be a book associated with that. It's just the expectation that human beings have. And it doesn't mean you should always do what people expect of you in life, but this is one place in which you should play to expectations and you should have a book. You need people around you. If you're a writer, you need people who will actually read the stuff that you write. People who won't read your emails, or they won't read your Instagram caption, or they won't read your book are probably not going to be your customers. You need people who are actual readers when you're in a thought leadership space, because that's who they should be. People who won't read ain't buying anything else that you're selling either. When you post on social media, again, people won't read a caption. How are they going to read a book? So if you're not writing, it's because you have simply gotten out of the writing game and you've been lulled into chasing after video views and TikTok engagement rather than the writing game. I would suggest that you're playing the wrong game. You're in a thought leadership space. I believe you're playing the wrong game if you are not giving people written material. It doesn't mean you can't sell anything without written material. You can sell stuff by running enough ads on TikTok, Instagram, Google, Facebook, etc. But if you want high quality people who are going to stick around for the long term, you need to write and get them reading. Understand that every well thought out idea that has been created in life that has stood the test of time, they were all written down on paper. None of them was recorded on a YouTube video. Now, again, I'm not saying you can't have a good idea and speak about it on video. I've had plenty of good ideas that are on video. This episode itself is on video. But the point is that deep thinkers put their deepest thoughts on paper. So a thought leader needs to write. By definition, you should be writing when you're a thought leader, you're a big thinker, because you're going to take your deepest thoughts and you're going to put it all on paper so that not everyone can read it. Not on audio so we can hear it, not on video so we can watch it, but written material so we can read it. Notice that when scientists find old artifacts or old writings, hieroglyphics on the wall of from previous generations, notice that the stuff that lasted, at least that is most intact, is the written material. The written material is the stuff that has lasted the longest to where we can still maybe even understand what it's saying. So thought leaders must be writing, and there is no flip side to this point right here. That said, let's recap today's class, which is lazy thought leader marketing mistakes is going to be a 3-part series. So this is part one. And again, a thought leader is coaches, consultants, speakers, authors, any of you who's doing webinars, courses, selling books. You are selling your intellectual property. So you're in this space, check yourself for these lazy marketing mistakes. Again, this is just the first 3 points. Number one, inconsistent branding. That means you're inconsistent in the messages that you're putting out there, which means the audience does not know what to see you as, and therefore they see you as nothing. Number two, ignoring or being unaware of available data. You got to be looking at your data. Who is liking your page? Who are liking your pictures? What type of people are being attracted to your offerings? And why are they being attracted? So that you can duplicate those elements and do more of the things that are clearly working. The more data you have, the easier it is to do this. If you don't have data, it's damn near impossible to do this, and you are simply playing a guessing game. Number three, not writing enough. When you're in a thought leadership space, you have readers in your audience. It means you need to give them something to read. Write. Write consistently. Write every day. Write every week. Write every month. You need to be consistently publishing so that if and when someone goes looking for you, they can find you. If you're in a thought leadership space, here's what you can do today to test yourself out. Go on Google and type your name in. And put quotation marks around it if you need to, if you have a name that may be very common. So if your name is Mike Smith, you got to put some quotation marks around Mike Smith, and you got to probably put some other identifying information, because it's probably a million Mike Smiths just in America alone. But I want you to Google yourself and then see what comes up. I want you to Google yourself plus your subject matter, whatever your topic is, see what comes up. And this will tell you what space you're occupying in the minds of your audience, because most people don't know you. But when they hear of you, they're going to go Google you. They're going to go Google you and see what they find. Question is, what are they going to find? Are you going to be happy about what they find? That's a question only you can answer. That said, text me, see on my community. My number is down below in the description. And Work On Your Game University. You would like to have me as your coach. You would like to work with me directly. We have a 4-part framework here. Mindset, strategy, systems, and accountability with 3 specific outcomes. Perform at your highest level. Be consistent and make more money. That sounds like you. Go to workonyourgameuniversity.com. Work on your game. Dre, all day. While you are here, don't forget to text me so you can be part of my texting community, where you can ask me questions. You can share challenges with me. You are messaging me directly. You can get a direct response from me, because I do read and reply to my messages. My number again, 305-384-6894. One more time, 305-384-6894. Make sure you text me, because you never know when I'm going to send a message that could be the one thing you need to hear, the one thing you need to do, the one insight you need to get that could change your life. Make sure you message me. 305-384-6894. People often ask me, Dre, is there any way that I could work with you directly? Is there any way that I could talk to you on a regular basis, just ask you questions, share with you what I'm doing, and just get your feedback and your insight on where I'm going personally and professionally? The answer is yes. And the further answer is there's only one place to do that. That is Work On Your Game University. That's the only place I do any coaching. It's the only place I work with anyone directly. All you have to do to get involved in the university is go to workonyourgameuniversity.com. There you'll see all your options, whether you want to schedule a call with us, join one of our group programs, and we go from there. I'll see you inside. Again, that's workonyourgameuniversity.com. If you're a longtime listener, you might know that I've been drinking AG1 since early 2023. Best thing about my introduction to AG1 was that I was able to eliminate all these extra supplements and pills that I was taking every single day, because AG1 is a foundational nutritional supplement that supports your body's universal needs like gut optimization, stress management, and immune support. AG1 since 2010 has led the future of foundational nutrition, continuously refining their formula to create a smarter, better way to elevate your baseline health. Not only did I replace all those extra multivitamins and pills with AG1, but I love that every scoop also includes a bunch of other good things that you need. All you had to do is read the label. It's right there on their website, which I'll give you in a second. That includes everything you need and more every single day. And since AG1 is a supplement that I trust to provide the support that my body needs daily, and that's why I've been a partner for so long, if you want to take ownership of your health, understand it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/workonyourgame. That's drinkag1.com/workonyourgame. Check it out and thank yourself later.